40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for Ahmad, who was elected Thursday as the new president of the Confederation of African Football, CAF. In what's being described as a major shakeup for African football, the 57-year-old Ahmad, who is from Madagascar, ousted 70-year-old Issa Hayatou, who is from Cameroon and who had been in charge of CAF since 1988. In the final tally from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, Ahmad received 34 votes and Hayatou 20. The result was greeted by cheers at the CAF Congress in Ethiopia as Ahmad was carried on the shoulders of jubilant supporters to the podium. Ahmad has promised to modernize CAF and make it more transparent. Ahmad has been president of Madagascar's Football Federation since 2003. Meanwhile, one of the officials who spoke to the delegates at the CAF Congress was FIFA President Gianni Infantino.
The passion of football that exists in Africa, ladies and gentlemen, is something unique. It's something that in other places of the world we are risking of losing. And I'm convinced that if we manage to channel and to structure this passion a little bit, the results will be phenomenal.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino speaking Thursday at the Confederation of African Football's Congress in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Let's sample some reaction now to the election of Ahmad as the new CAF president. Overall, it seems positive. Shagun Dot on the spot Adeyemi, the former host of our Nightline Africa sports program, who reported for the Voice of America for 29 years, checks in by email from Nigeria. Shagun stopped working for the VOA last year when he was appointed special assistant to the Nigerian president. Shagun writes that he backs Ahmad as the new CAF president, and Shagun adds that African football is yearning for change. Tariq Samere, also known as Josie, checks in from Jimma, Ethiopia. Josie writes on the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, "I am much more happy now. It was time for African football to change." And three more Facebook comments. Romanus Yahaya, writing from Nasarawa, Nigeria, says, "Congratulations to Ahmad, the new CAF president." Martins Coker, writing from Ilorin, Nigeria, says simply, "I love this. I love it. I love it," says Martins. And Oyebisi Ibrahim Debo, writing from Abuja, Nigeria, says, "Good news for African football. Good news from Lusaka." That's where Zambia's president has honored his country's African champion under 20 football team, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale.
President Edgar Lungu says the victory of the young Chipolopolo of Zambia in last Sunday's under 20 AFCON finals against Senegal is a demonstration that in unity the country has the power to rise above all social, political and economic divides. Speaking during the luncheon hosted in honor of the victorious under 20 national soccer team, President Lungu says the players have brought joy and great honor to the nation at a time when the country needs to be united than ever before.
I'm greatly delighted to host our gallant and victorious young Chipolopolo national football team, which has made our country proud and has put smiles on the face of all of us. It is gratifying that after the 2012 victory by the senior national football team in the AFCON tournament in Gabon, we have once more conquered Africa in football, and this time at youth level. My government, through the Ministry of Sports, will continue to provide financial support towards football development and other sport disciplines in this country.
Durban in South Africa will no longer be hosting the 2022 Commonwealth Games. This was after the country had already spent more than $7.5 million in the bidding process. Minister Fikile Mbalula said the South African government was embarrassed at the way the country had lost the right to host the 2022 Commonwealth Games.
The government of the Republic of South Africa wishes to express its disappointment at the announcement by the Commonwealth Games Federation to withdraw the country's bid to host a successful Commonwealth Games in Durban 2022.
Fikile Mbalula also mentioned that an operational budget could not be agreed upon between South Africa and the organizers of the Commonwealth Games. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa. Every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We're looking forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. And this quick nomadic travel tidbit, Heather Maxwell is traveling to Morocco this week for the International Festival of the Nomads. I'm sure there will be some great African music heard in Morocco, and Heather's going to bring some back for us. U.S. men's national soccer team coach Bruce Arena has named 24 players for crucial 2018 World Cup qualifying matches this month against Honduras and Panama. The USA will host Honduras March 24th in San Jose, California, and then 4 days later, on March 28th, the Americans will meet Panama in Panama City. Coach Arena brought back three key veteran players from the injury list. After being sidelined due to an irregular heartbeat, Seattle Sounders striker Clint Dempsey rejoins the national team for the first time since last June's Copa America Centenario tournament. Colorado Rapids goaltender Tim Howard is also back after recovering from an adductor fracture. I think that's kind of a groin hip injury. Tim suffered it during last November's 2-1 World Cup qualifying defeat against Mexico. And after suffering a knee injury while playing for Stoke City, defender Jeff Cameron returns to the USA roster for the first time since a 2-0 friendly win in Cuba last October. During a Facebook live chat, Coach Arena talked about the team and answered questions from U.S. soccer fans. The chat began with a question from Sebastian. you've been saying the last couple of months that you didn't think Clint Dempsey would be ready for March. What have you seen that has changed your mind?
Well, I've spoken to Clint starting in December, and at that time, he still hadn't had full clearance from the Seattle medical staff. In January, we talked again. He was cleared to go into preseason, and then he was given the full go and had a full month of February in training camp and played two matches in Major League Soccer to start the regular season, and he keeps getting better. We've dealt with his fitness coach, and we see the improvement, and we really feel that on any roster that the U.S. has, if you can include a healthy Clint Dempsey in any kind of manner or form, it's a plus. So that's why we made that decision. The next question. Neil asks, Honduras has always been one of the toughest teams in CONCACAF, particularly on the road. How do you expect them to approach the game in San Jose? That's a good question. My guess from what I've seen out of Honduras in qualifying is that they're probably going to play somewhat of a defensive game with a three-man back line, five-man back line, however you want to describe it. They have a lot of speed and will likely play with three forwards and just look to hit us on the break. So I think they'll get great numbers in the back, be very tight defensively, and look to get out on the break with three very explosive players up front. The next question I have, Paul wants to know, with the injury to DeAndre Yedlin and Timmy Chandler being suspended, who are you considering for right back? Well, first of all, with the roster we have, we can play with a back three, back five, back four. Experienced players on the right side in the back line have been Jeff Cameron. He's played there before, and Michael Orozco has played there a lot for the Club Tijuana over the last couple of months. So those are options there. The question I've been asked as well is, what do I think Jeff Cameron's best position is? That's a good question. You know, at Stoke, he's playing as a defensive midfielder, sitting in front of the center backs. For the national team, he's played more often than not as a center back, but he's also played right back and holding midfield. We don't want to make a habit of moving players around a whole lot, but in this case, you know, we'll probably look at Jeff as either a center back or a right back. The next question, Ron asks, if the absences of Kleshchen and Feilhaber are a sign that you were thinking of using Pulisic in the center of midfield, that's certainly an option, depending on how we line up. We also have Sebastian Legette, Alejandro Bedoya, Darlington Nagbe, and Clint Dempsey playing underneath forwards. It's all possibilities of playing in the central part of midfield. In more of a defensive role or 4-4-2 roles, we have the options of Michael Bradley, Dax McCarty, and Kellen Acosta. So I believe we have a lot of options there. The next question I have, Doug wants to know, what factors will determine who starts in the goal? Well, certainly the health of all three goalkeepers, but in Raimondo, Gazan, and Howard, we have three experienced goalkeepers, and I'd feel very comfortable playing any of them. And I think once we get into camp on Sunday and we see how our players get out of the weekend matches and how they look in training, we'll determine who starts in the goal. Johnny Molina wants to know, what do the young guys like Acosta, Morris, Pulisic bring to this team? I think they bring pace as a starting point, eagerness. Although inexperienced, I think they're exciting players and give us other options on the field. I think in Morris, it gives us pace in the attack. We've seen Pulisic. He's a very exciting, aggressive attacking player. Acosta's a good two-way midfielder and can play as a number six or a number eight. Also another young player, Legette, who's an exciting player, physically strong, very dynamic going forward in the attack. So I think our young players add to our roster.
That's Bruce Arena, the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team, and he was speaking during a Facebook live chat. We heard Coach Arena say how his team will begin a training camp Sunday in San Jose, California. The USA will host Honduras March 24th at Avaya Stadium in San Jose, the home of Major League Soccer's San Jose Earthquakes Club. Now let's go to New York City, where Kazakhstani boxing star Gennady Triple G Golovkin goes against American Danny Jacobs Saturday night in a middleweight world championship fight. Triple G is putting his unbeaten record and four middleweight world title belts on the line against Jacobs, who was diagnosed with a life-threatening form of bone cancer 6 years ago. The Brooklyn-born Jacobs received successful treatment at New York Presbyterian Hospital, and he has since made a winning return to the ring. Danny has won 10 consecutive fights since the cancer treatment. Overall, Danny Jacobs has a professional record of 32 wins and one loss with 29 knockouts. Triple G has won all 36 of his prize fights, 33 by knockout. It's shaping up as an excellent middleweight world title fight. And who knows, maybe even Jay-Z will be ringside at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
Let's hear it for New York, and let's hear it for Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Andrew, welcome to the bright lights, baby.
The bright lights of Studio 22. I love it. Well, as somebody who's from New York, I always like rocking out to that song, so I like that musical interlude for sure.
Well, what's trending in the sports world on this Thursday, Andrew?
Sonny, I got to tell you, it's madness. Madness everywhere.
Madness, March Madness.
March Madness and madness across the globe, starting as with the story that you were talking about earlier in Africa with Issa Hayatou out and Ahmad in.
Out with the old, in with the new.
And we're seeing a lot of that sentiment being represented on social media. People saying, I never thought it would happen in my lifetime that Hayatou is gone. Finally, he becomes former CAF president. And a new dawn for African football. So a lot of excitement. And the one stat that I found amazing, Lionel Messi was 9 months old when Hayatou became CAF president.
Wow.
So that just gives you an idea of how long he's been there and how excited people are for change and something new.
Something new indeed. Well, what else is new in the sports social media world, Andrew?
So it's madness in Africa, and it's madness all the way halfway around the world in Indian Wells, California, the quarter of death in the BNP Paribas Open, living up to its name with that big matchup last night, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. Federer got the best of him this time, even though Nadal has won more matches in the head-to-head. 6-2, 6-3 took Federer just 67 minutes to dispatch Nadal. And fans of Federer are mad excited about this.
Convincing victory.
Superb performance. They're saying he's playing his best tennis ever, which is saying something for a guy who's won 18 Grand Slam titles. And again, shows why he's the greatest of all time. A lot of his fans using that goat emoji for the greatest of all time.
Well, Andrew, our producer this evening, Bill Werkinger, asked me before the show, was Rafa healthy in that match?
Well, that's part of the speculation and part of what the Nadal camp and the Nadal fans are talking about, that he may not be fully rehabbed. Federer, to his credit or to his resurgence, He told a Swiss journalist, he said, I'm still in comeback mode. Comeback mode lasts until end of April. Then I'm fully back on tour mode. So Federer says he's not even fully rehabbed, yet he's playing some of the best tennis he's ever played. So a lot of excitement for him. And I think my favorite tweet, Patrick McEnroe, of course, with his brother John, legends of tennis in their own right, said, this Federer guy might have a future.
Another guy with a future, Nick Kyrgios. I remember you mentioned yesterday he could be maybe the next big star in tennis.
Yeah, Nick Kyrgios is frustrating for tennis fans because he goes out there and he'll just, you know, won't give it 100%. He's had matches where he's kind of just lobbed the ball and given up on points. Well, none of that last night, beating world number two Novak Djokovic 6-4, 7-6, denying Djokovic the chance to four-peat in Indian Wells. He's the three-time defending champion there, so knocking him out. And interestingly, Kyrgios may be the only person who has a perfect record against Djokovic. He's only played him twice, last month in Acapulco and this month yesterday at Indian Wells, and he's beaten him both times.
Not too many players can say that, Andrew.
No, not too many at all. And it's going to be a great matchup in the quarterfinal in this quarter of death. You're going to have Kyrgios facing Roger Federer in the final for that quarter. Again, Kyrgios has beaten Roger Federer the only time they've met, so Federer has a little bit of revenge that he's looking to get. And Kyrgios won that match that he beat Federer in 6-7, 7-6, 7-6. So this is looking like it's going to be a really good match.
What else is trending out there in sports, Andrew?
Well, the big madness, of course. We talked about the calf madness and the tennis madness. Of course, the big madness happening right now is March Madness. Currently underway, the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And even before the games started today and are going to run all through tomorrow and the weekend, there was a lot of talk on social media about March Madness, as to be expected. We're going to see who wins the games, and we're going to see who advances in the bracket. But as far as the social media conversation, they seem to have already picked a winner. The team that was getting the most buzz was North Carolina, the University of North Carolina. So they are a one seed. We'll see if they can make it all the way and get there. But they were the most talked about team on social media in the lead up to March Madness.
Some of our VOA basketball fans might know the Tar Heels of North Carolina. That's the team that the great Michael Jordan played for.
Yeah, so he's he will, I'm sure, be there if they advance. He was there last year when they faced off against Villanova in the final in that heartbreaking loss for North Carolina, but amazing buzzer-beater win for Villanova. So a lot of crying Jordan memes last year, but hopefully not this year for him. Hopefully North Carolina will do him proud.
Well, what else is trending in terms of March Madness, Andrew?
Well, speaking of North Carolina, there's a big fan of North Carolina who's picked them to go all the way, and it's not Michael Jordan, it is Barack Obama. As we've talked about on the show before, President Trump this year said he wasn't going to fill out a bracket, something that President Obama did all throughout his presidency. And even though President Obama's out of office, he said, you know what, I'm going to release a bracket and I'm going to send it out. He tweeted out from the Obama Foundation. He said, in the spirit of good sportsmanship and good citizenship, here are Barack Obama's picks for March Madness 2017. So he has North Carolina going all the way on the men's side. On the women's side, perhaps not a surprise. We've talked about them multiple times on the show. 107-game winning streak, the UConn women, the Lady Huskies out of Connecticut.
Incredible.
So he's picked them to go all the way. I think just about everybody who's filled out a women's bracket has picked UConn, if they have any sense. They're the favorites heavily. But this is kicking off a little bit of controversy, though, with President Obama's picks. People saying that they're offended that he picked their team to lose, maybe get upset in an early round. There are people who are happy with him that they picked North Carolina to win. One person tweeted out, he said, I don't agree with Obama on much, but I do agree with his NCAA picks. So he's creating a little bit of bipartisanship and crossing the aisle with his sports picks. And still people, you know, while they're happy that he's doing this and happy that he's released it from the men and women's tournaments, they're a little disappointed, saying that the bracket's a little bland, not too many upsets going on. A lot of the high seeds moving through, maybe only three or four teams making an upset. No big upset like a 12 seed over a 5 or a 14 over a 3. So we'll see how well the former president does. We'll have to compare our bracket picks to his. But now that they're out on the internet, there's a lot of analysis. He's used to the political analysis. Now he gets the sports analysis.
Sports analysis, March Madness here in Studio 22. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the March 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrack Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In early March, the U.S. Department of State released its country reports on human rights practices for the year 2016. As in recent years, the 2016 reports document continued narrowing space for civil society, said a high-level State Department official at the report's introduction. Both state and non-state actors have taken steps to restrict civil society activity, to limit media and internet freedom, to suppress opposition voices, and, in the worst cases, kill people or drive them from their homes. In many countries, we've seen governments crack down on the fundamental freedoms of expression and association by the use of direct and overt means, such as controlling political activity, or banning or limiting political opposition, or by using laws or burdensome bureaucratic requirements to restrict civil society functioning. The reports are not meant to point fingers or judge the actions of sovereign nations, nor are these U.S. policy documents. The 199 nations and territories covered in these reports are in no way ranked or compared to each other. The reports do not draw legal conclusions. Indeed, the reports were first mandated by the U.S. Congress when it became clear that some regimes that received U.S. aid had perpetrated gross abuses of human rights. That was 41 years ago. Since then, U.S. State Department human rights officials have tapped credible sources all over the world, from local and international human rights organizations to resources in the media, government, diplomatic, and intelligence agencies. All year, they collect, analyze, and synthesize this information. The reports are meant to respond to specific questions, such as whether there were credible reports of torture during 2016, whether security forces are held accountable for human rights violations, and whether there were reports of politically motivated disappearances, said the official. That's because, in the words of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, U.S. leadership demands action, specifically focused on improving the conditions of people the world over. The annual human rights reports are a part of that endeavor.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
When news is happening, VOA Africa is there.
Mohamed Yusuf of VOA News, Nairobi.
Victor Beatty, VOA News, Washington.
Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Joba.
Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
VOA correspondents take you right to the center of events as they're happening. And this is where you hear it all on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.